asked which superhero he would be. Governor President Scott Walker says he's torn between Captain America and Captain Underpants. Well, what do you know?
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. I'm Stephanie Lee. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, with Mike Arnold announcing. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's Wisconsin foodie host Kyle Cherick. Plus all the news that isn't, and we globetrot through a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
And now, the man who made me what I am today, Michael Feldman.
I should have worked more at it. I should have put a little more effort into it. So Rand Paul was asked the same question, you know, superhero question. He said he wanted to be Ant-Man. Actually, he didn't say he wanted to be Ant-Man. He said he was Ant-Man. So that sort of figures. Donald Trump asked the same question, said it would be a demotion to be a superhero. Okay, anyway. In other news that isn't, the court rules that immigrants must be deported in the order that they arrived. So the English are the first out. It's going to take a while, though, because they breed like flies, those English. Ireland votes for Aaron Go Boys. Vatican says the Irish vote is, quote, a defeat for humanity, but one small step for the priesthood. I know I'm going to hear about it. It's the only way I could work that out. So far, the only move that slumping McDonald's has made is leaving the Hamburglar to the Cleveland police. I'm killing him. This is a role for me.
Better than normal, yeah.
President Obama takes bold executive action to protect America's drinking water, so I'm not drinking this stuff anymore, because, well, you know, it's bold executive action. Bristol Palin status, another one bites the dust. Pretend. This is all about pretending radio. You pretend that you just overreact and enjoy it. I meant to tell you that in the warm-up. I ran out of time. The Milwaukee Brewers called the Iraqi Army of Baseball. Iraqi Army files formal protest. George Pataki announcement sends everyone running to Google. Pretty sure he was a tank commander in World War II. Apple Watch Life Minutes app allows you to buy life minutes from Apple Store, so that's actually extend your life that way. But it's pricey, I'll be honest with you. Sepp Blatter is Swiss for Dick Cheney. A lot of bribery going up, I guess, in international soccer is going on. In fact, Putin reportedly bribed Sepp Blatter with a Super Bowl ring that he lifted off the hand of the Patriots guy.
Yeah, that's where that went.
Yeah, that's where it went. Paid off, though. I thought something was fishy when Pyongyang got the World Cup. You know, that was, what are the odds on that? After cleaning up global football, the U.S. has vowed to clean up global goat's head polo. That's next on the list. Reinvented Rick Santorum means he probably will not mention people marrying their dogs this time. Because that's reinvention. Even as a kid, though, he was known as Sick Rantorum. Work it out. Works out. Switch your letters around. We'll see. I saw a down-and-out NSA guy sitting at the intersection with a sign, "Will work for metadata." Maybe if you laughed more off mic.
I think I should move back. I'm sorry.
Kind of drowns out the audience reaction. I'm getting used to the silences. You know, okay, all right, I don't care. I thought it was funny. Google's solar-powered drone crashes on first cloudy day. Snapchat brings in 538 million dollars from investors. Unfortunately, 7 seconds later, it disappears. Canadian creationist discovers 60-year-old T-Rex. Thank you. There's a specific text that will brick your iPhone, and I'm guessing it's lol. Or repeated lols in caps. That will actually brick your... Try it. See if it bricks your iPhone. It could be OMG or LMAO. One of them does it, I'm for certain. The mother who went to jail rather than have her son circumcised has been released. I say wait till it has a mind of its own and let it decide. Editorial. Oh, yeah. Oh, good. Thank you. I feel a little bit better. And finally, here in Wisconsin, Governor President Walker and the legislative follies of 2015 downgrade the University of Wisconsin to the University of Herzing. And that's all the news that is, and thank you so much. The Herzing Badgers. And speaking of Governor President Walker, in case you were on his recent trade mission to Israel, trade mission, well, cheese for Seder plates, I guess, kind of thing. He went to Israel, but he would not allow the press to come along with him. He said instead he would blog what he found in the Holy Land. And we, as a matter of fact, we have that with you this morning. This is the Governor President's blog from Israel.
Oy, what a trip. Vey is mayor. 16 hours on Wisconsin Air National Guard C-120. I wouldn't wish on a dog. My tuchus hurts so bad I stand and hold a strap for 5,000 miles. Molotov! But who, boy, what a reception at Ben-Gurion, the airport. Like I'm a Gurion, Bibi calling me mine imbecile Shabbos goy. For it's Baruch to turn on the shul lights, put down the sheets, sweep, and close up after. So much galactor when I asked for a bigger yarmulke to cover my bald spot. We laughed all the way to the Wailing Wall. Not so good I mixed Wisconsin cheese with Wisconsin sausage, which for shtukin a pork sausage, but Israelis very forgiving unless transgress you should in a biblical sense. The Jesus Calling book for Bibi, less of joyous reception than expected, given Savior's background. But still, I'll throw it on the pile, a good response. Have to say, I felt like I was among my Miss Polka. Anyhow, my Teva, the if I was a rich man, doidle, 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 dee. That surprised more than a few in Jerusalem at the very gate. Jesus walked through, now bricked up. What, I say to them, you expecting maybe a toy coming? Lol, lol, lol. Bitch is the same in Hebrish. Meanwhile, the Japanese rabbi joke, don't rook Jewish, not so good. Everybody with the sensibilities these days. More I write when time I have. Everybody BTW blogs here. They call it verblungent. Shalom, hello, peace, and goodbye, schmucks. Tavy, Tavia, Tavia.
Wonderful. That's an exclusive. And that's all the news that really is. And thank you so much, Governor President Walker. Very moved by his Israeli trip, obviously. Moved me to tears. To hear it, actually.
Me too.
Yes. That was very good. Wisconsin foodie host and man about town, Kyle Cherick. A man who knows all there is about what he knows about.
Do I put these on?
I don't know. You're on the air, aren't you?
I'm on the air, but...
Don't you wear those when you're on the air?
Well, I've never taken them off an ostrich before.
That's an emu.
I've never taken them off
an emu
either.
That's right, you're a foodie, you're not an animal-y.
No, I'm not an animal-y. Okay. Oh, you're so much louder.
How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Yeah, you don't really need them if you don't want them. Take your glasses off.
I feel more...
See what you look like. Those are nice frames, though.
Thank you.
Yeah, put them back on.
Yeah, right.
How are you, man?
I'm good.
Wisconsin Foodie is a major hit. You were Emmy nominated, and you're all over the place, and it's going pretty good.
It's working out. Yeah. We're very pleased. We're grateful.
I've never been nominated for anything.
You've got to enter to win. It's like I tell my my brother, who doesn't like to spend money on lottery tickets. You've got to enter to win, buddy.
Is your brother a foodie too, or is he more of an ED?
He's a little bit of both. Yeah. He married a what we would call a home gourmand. And
that's
so,
a man? You married a man?
No.
Isn't that the male?
What would it be? What would the feminine be? Gourmandi?
Gourmet.
Gourmet. Correct?
That is so sexy. I'm taking back that joke right now. I'm rude.
We know that we're on public radio because we can use the big words.
Okay, go ahead. Use a few. What were you going to say?
In any event, he married
a gourmand.
That's
so
right,
he had to live up to it.
Yes. And I think a lot of those things have worn off or rubbed off on him in the best ways.
You know, they wouldn't be so bad, those gourmands, if they wouldn't talk about it or say anything when you're eating something that you're enjoying, you know.
Right, yeah. Do you know where these truffles came from kind of thing when you're...
Truffles? Who's
right.
truffles?
Well,
the chocolates. You mean the chocolate truffle?
No, but those are based on the original truffles.
If pigs could find chocolate truffles, I'd be with it 100%. Because they're good.
But then we couldn't use dogs, which are better truffle hunters, because, of course, chocolate is bad for dogs. Everyone knows that.
But, you know, you yourself must be the first gourmand ever to come out of Milwaukee, because I can't think of anybody else.
Sandy D'Amato. Come on. He's one of the most famous chefs of the American canon.
Yeah, but he's not a regular guy. I mean, you're a regular guy, right? I mean, just someone like a Wisconsin citizen in Milwaukee.
If you want to frame it up that way, sure, I'll take that.
I've never thought of myself as
I'm not a chef.
You were never a chef?
Never a chef. I have carried things to tables as a profession, and I have.
So this should be Wisconsin busboys.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, I overbid. I started out as a host, and then they said, "You know what? You'd be much better carrying things than clearing tables."
Well, how did you acquire your vast knowledge of like chefs and cookery and foods and that sort of thing?
Yeah, just hanging around the right people.
But maybe I should have them on.
That's what I said to your producer when I got the email. Are you sure?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is going very good. And then the show itself, like you go around Wisconsin and a lot of places.
We cover Wisconsin and perhaps soon further points. But as our previous secretary of tourism told us, not the one that's part of the Walker administration, when we first started the show, we're happy to support it. And she was jesting, but she said, we're happy to support it. Uh-huh. But if you cross the border, I'll kill you.
But you did. You went to New York.
Yeah, well, that was after, that's once, you know, the administration changed. So we felt safe in that.
Yeah, meanwhile, he's in Israel doing it.
We didn't get any of those.
It's not really gourmand.
We didn't get any of those state tax dollars to go to New York as he did.
No.
Our airfare was not covered.
Okay, well, let me ask you some questions here about places you've been. If I want cheese in Thorpe.
If you want cheese in
where
Thorpe.
Where do I go?
I would go to the cheese shop in Thorpe.
Ah. Interesting choice. What makes you say that?
As my grandmother would say, if it hurts, don't do that. If you're hungry, eat something.
Yes.
Yeah.
You mean Hollins?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Hollins family cheese?
What do you
like about it?
I like Marieke.
You like what?
I like Marieke, her Gouda. Her Gouda is fantastic. It's internationally award-winning.
It looked like the real deal, too, because I saw a picture of it. Because we had the international winner.
Right.
Danish Gouda, whatever it was, and it's a big wheel.
Well, that's how they make
thousands
them.
Of dollars.
Yeah, yeah. It's
and this looked like the real deal.
It is. Well, that's the crazy thing about cheese right now, particularly in Wisconsin, is that we have so many near genius artisanal cheesemakers. They didn't used to call them artisanal; they just called them cheesemakers.
What does artisanal actually mean? It's like gourmand.
It just adds about $12 per pound. But we're in the international competitions in cheese, which there are. It's like the Olympics, but they have them, you know, more frequently.
Yeah.
They keep winning in these European styles, and the Europeans are pissed off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can he say that?
I just did.
Yeah, I guess that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's on staff here, so this is very handy.
You're a content manager and ombudsman, is that right?
Yes, an announcer.
Yeah, an announcer.
He sweeps up later, too. He's
good
great.
God.
So
I do it all.
All right, so that's
their thing.
You've had their Gouda?
It's exquisite.
Exquisite?
Exquisite.
Describe it. Come on, you're a foodie.
I would say that it opens up with a buttery softness. then there's a little piquant sense of brightness leading towards that. That's right. Look it up. Somebody look it up in the control room.
How do you spell it?
Yeah. Finishing off, okay. Finishing off with subtle woody notes.
That's what she said. Okay. No, that's very good. And then,
No.
Did you just pun, or was that just you just descended into?
I always say that when I don't know what to say. It's such
middle school humor
reaction. It's not middle school. All right.
Early high school.
The opening jokes were
what
great.
Is seventh grade? Is seventh grade middle school? I don't know. I guess it is. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. And who are the people that run it there?
Marika? Marika, yes, and her family.
And her family.
Yeah.
Is she the actual cheesemaker?
She is the actual cheesemaker.
Beautiful. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That's good. Now, I'm looking for some bacon.
Sure, that's great. I can hook you up after the show. I've got
I'm going around Wisconsin. I'm driving just to eat.
Yeah.
Really good stuff and stuff. And... where would I go?
You start with Newskies and you end with Newskies.
Yeah. Start and end with Newskies.
Absolutely.
Is there a Newski in Newskies?
There is a Newski in Newskies. When we filmed the show, we were toured around by Tanya Newski, who I think is second or third generation.
Of the Newskies?
Of the Newskies.
Have they always been in bacon?
I believe they have.
Okay.
Yeah. Although they let me sort of finish off a ham. You know, they do that great sugar coating.
You and your finishing off.
I know, right.
This is really...
And they gave
you know what I'm going to say if you keep doing it.
Well, it's your show.
Yeah.
So they are also in ham. They're in bacon and ham.
Oh, in ham.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you said hemp.
No. I mean, they may be, but not that I'm aware of. I haven't checked the website.
You know what they're smoking out there at Newskies. Right. They're smoking at Newskies. That would be my motto.
That's true. Everything is smoked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What have they smoked anything unexpected at Newskies?
I don't believe so, no. There was, okay. When we toured the plant or the factory, whatever the right term is for where you smoke things, and then
smokery.
Package the smokery. Yeah,
the French have a word for it, I'm sure. Right?
Everything was it was very because they have that codified flavor, so everything was very methodical.
Yeah,
and it's got to be that Newski's taste, right?
Yeah,
even though you're making
it's the smoking, isn't it?
They cut it thick. They cut it thick, and it's the cherry wood in the smoke.
Cherry wood.
Yeah. In fact, when we came with our cameras. The plant manager would not, I mean, she body blocked us when we were going to come around the corner with our cameras to shoot the smokers. Uh-huh. And it was verboten. No.
Couldn't show the smokers? But
this is how we do it.
But she told you it was cherry wood, so
that's
what's
right.
The big deal?
Well, it's on the label.
It's on the label.
So recalcitrates on that
with the
fact
labels,
was
throw
not
the labels in there, too.
That's
probably
not the time, yeah.
You know what that means? There's something else in there besides cherry wood.
What is it?
Why would I know? I don't know. I'm saying if they barred you.
Oh,
from the,
probably. Yeah.
You know, it's more than just cherry wood.
Highly likely. This emu is really soft.
Yes. You can throw it. Just throw it away. It's really not even real. See?
Oh, look at that.
Look at this. Look at that. Doesn't hurt it.
I was expecting on your show like an enormous rubber chicken.
Wrong show. Wait, don't tell me they did the rubber chicken.
You do have the
Wintermobile
here.
I'm in Bailey's Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
How did
you enjoy your Door County vacation?
I love Door County, you know.
Yeah.
And Bailey's Harbor is the place to go for food, right?
Sure.
And foodstuffs. Where do you go in Bailey's Harbor?
Well, when we go to Door County, we eat at a few special places. We always go to the Wickman House.
Yeah.
I mean, they're...
It's good. Pricey, but good.
Yeah, but come on, it's beautiful. It delivers on every level.
Oh, that sounds like an endorsement. I see why they all like you out there.
It used to be this great fine dining place called T. Aswell's, and that chef was he had great acumen with food, but he couldn't keep the business going. And then these two young guys came in.
Yeah, no guy who worked there before in this previous.
It was great then, too. Yeah. But these two young guys came in, and they revived it, and they've got an amazing staff and this terrific, terrific chef. And we were doing a little Door County junket a couple of summers ago, and they had us up. And on the way there, we kept going. Anyway, we got a little lost. We ended up picking up their dishwasher, who was walking with his dog.
The machine or the...
the actual guy. With his dog named Old Berm. You can't make this up.
Old Berm, yeah.
And they just leaped in the back of the car, and we dropped them off. Anyway, they had
they
us in.
They both leaped, isn't that
Yeah,
cute?
They did, they did both leap.
Both
yeah.
leaping.
Yeah.
The
well, he was sort of like a wood sprite or something. They just kind of came out of the bushes, and we're hitchhiking. Anyway.
And then what happened?
And we took them to work, and we were in to get a little tour and a tasting before service, meaning before they were open. Mm. And we had, my fiance and I, had the single best burger we had that year. Mm. And this is a better dining place, but their burger just nailed it. Anyway, then we got a tour of the restaurant, and we got back to the dish pit and said, hey, And the whole staff said, how do you know him? We're like, well, we gave him a ride to work. Mm.
Great story. Okay, now...
I was hoping you could say that. I gave
Bayfield,
you so much
now,
material.
We've been up in Bayfield a bunch of times, yeah. And I guess you go to the same place we do in Bayfield, because, you know, I'm not saying there's not a lot of choices.
There's not a lot of choices. Yeah, wild rice. You got to go to
the wild rice.
Mary Rice. Yeah.
Mary Rice.
Yeah.
She's quite amazing.
She is quite amazing. Yeah. And then...
She could be a restaurateur like anywhere in the world, really.
Anywhere.
And she's in Bayfield on the edge of Lake Superior.
She fell in love with it as a little girl, and that's where she wanted to bring great food.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Big Top Chautauqua and all of that. Yeah. And then you take the ferry over to Madeline Island and get a drink at Frank's Burnt Down, where the best sign in the world...
Yeah.
As you walk up, it says, you're in Wisconsin now. Be nice.
I must have missed that sign.
Oh, it's directed at the Minnesotans that come over.
Oh, okay, yeah. The burnt down, yeah.
I mean, the temerity of someone who has a tavern, it burns down, but then, no, let's stay open and just change the name to Frank's Burnt Down.
I know, tell it to the zoning people.
Right.
Tell it to the zoning people. They're not all that happy about it. In Door County, you got to mention Nelson's Bitters up there in Washington Island.
That's right. That's
right. Those guys are nice. Talk about nice.
I have the thumb stamp card. You know, if you go and you drink a bitter, and then the bartender puts her thumb into the shot glass and stamps the card and signs it that you've been to Nelson's Bitters.
Yeah. How many thumbs do you have to get for free bitters?
I don't know. I mean, see? I can't. More than a shot glass. And
no
I'm
one's ever gotten more than one thumb, I'll tell you that.
Well, when we were on our way up there, someone was insisting that the ferry captain, the previous ferry captain, who lived to be 90-something, drank a pint of bitters a day.
Is that right?
Yeah, which I think is just unconscionable.
Yeah.
I mean, they're bitters, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never could figure it out, but it's really cool that they do it.
Yeah.
And, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know,
there's a big market for bitters in mixed drinks and so forth.
They hold the accommodation of the largest bitter sales in the world from the guys that make them in Jamaica. They have this trophy that they sent them.
Is that right?
Yeah. So during Prohibition, they hired a fancy attorney to go down and you know, you could sell like medicinal, right? You could sell spirits and so forth if you had a medicinal license during Prohibition.
Yeah.
And so they hired this fancy attorney and he went down and he said, you know, this is what they want to do. And the judge supposedly poured a glass of it, or the attorney poured a glass for the judge, and the judge had one sip, and he said, absolutely improved. Nobody would ever take advantage of this.
Yeah.
And then they used to sell it by the pints to all the locals.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they get their buzz.
There's no
on
alcohol in it. That's amazing.
There's a little bit. There's a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. But it's mostly just
you
awful.
You got to drink a lot of it. That's
right. Yeah.
Okay. Nice, guys. Let's say I'm in the Kickapoo Valley.
Yeah, you go for the coffee.
Coffee.
Kickapoo coffee.
Kickapoo coffee. Tell me about it. What's special about Kickapoo coffee?
It's the micro lots and they're small roasters and Caleb that roasts it. It's just fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they grow it out there?
No. They get it. They source it from all
they got
over
apple
there.
Trees. I know.
That's right.
They might have coffee
that's
growing
right.
in,
I mean,
in the shade of apple trees. That'd be it.
If they do, I'm not aware of it. Yeah.
Well, then they don't.
Right.
That's what you're saying, right?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well,
coffee, it's funny because they call it a tree, but it actually looks like a bush. I still can't figure out. They only grow three feet high. Why would you call it a tree?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's like a bonsai of a...
I'm not into food like you are.
Of buzzy beans.
Quinces. You say quinces.
Quinces
and apple.
That's right.
Right here in Madison.
Right
and
here
I
in
haven't
Madison.
Been there, but tell me about
you
this.
You can buy it most easily at Fromagination. Just walk around the square here.
What is it?
Yeah, they're great preserves and fruit flavorings, but primarily jams and preserves.
Jams and preserves.
Yeah. Oh, lovely, cool. Lovely couple.
Yeah, and where is that?
What do you mean?
I mean, where is that? How ambiguous is that? Where is it physically located?
Oh, where do they produce? Somewhere.
So where is, if I'm going there, I want to know where it is.
Fromagination or Quince and Apple?
Quince and Apple.
Quince and Apple. I don't think they have their own store. I think you can
only
buy it
through
stores.
Why is it
not
here?
I don't know.
Very confusing.
Yeah.
So just look for it.
That's why I was flummoxed by your question.
You know what I like? It was this community farm in Elkhorn. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, is it actually like a communal farm?
I have no idea. I don't think I've been there. I don't know where you got
that. Did they tell you we're going to have you on the air?
They told
or do
me,
you have no idea?
They told me we were going to talk baseball.
What do I have to say? Brewers. There, that says it all.
Yeah.
Lot Fodl.
It means
Lot Fodl.
It means the fat of the land.
Oh,
the expression,
cool.
You'll live off the fat of the land.
Oh, live off the fat of the land. Correct. Yeah, okay, yeah, cool, yeah, cool. Yeah, I thought it was Latvian or something.
I don't know if it's German. I don't know the...
And what goes on Latvala?
It's a CSA, so they grow vegetables and so on and so forth, and then they sell them through community shared agriculture. So
cool.
Yeah, you would buy, you know, you get a box of whatever's in season once a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Manja and Kenosha, I've been there. That place is great.
Oh, Manja is terrific.
He's good.
Tony Montuano was so good. And our buddy Jason Gorman, who's the exec chef there now, Wisconsin boy. We just saw him 2 weeks ago. Yeah. He's so talented. Yeah.
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 And they do new things there.
Yeah.
That's really, I mean,
yeah, no, Manja
things they never eat again.
If you're driving to Chicago, pull off, make a point, go to Manja. It's terrific.
Yeah, or don't even go to Chicago.
Or
why
don't
would
even
you do
go
that?
To, right,
go to
right.
Kenosha.
Just go to Kenosha.
Kenosha needs the business more than Chicago.
They do, and pull up to the water and say, same lake.
Right. And closer.
And closer. Right.
Same lake, but closer. That's what I would do for Kenosha, for
instance.
Yeah. And then finally, let's do one Milwaukee here, Larry's Market in Milwaukee. What's special about Larry's Market in Milwaukee?
They were the first market to bring fancy foods way back in the 50s, things that we take for granted now, like Perrier and croissant and things like that. They were the first ones to ever have it in the state. And what they did...
Did Larry travel a lot or something? Did he come back?
I don't know where. I don't know how he got turned on to all that stuff. His children still carry it on. They're the owners. And they are a national, if maybe international, cheesemaker, or not cheesemaker, but tastemaker shop within artisanal, there's that word again, cheeses. Yeah. Yeah, what Larry's, what they buy and what they decide to stock changes the market to a certain extent.
You're saying Larry's in Milwaukee affects the world market?
In cheese, certainly nationally, yeah. It's on the same level as, say, a Murray's cheese in New York.
No kidding. No,
I would not kid about that.
That's astounding.
Yeah, they're the real deal.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do they get a pound for that?
It depends on which cheese.
Is there one there that you like in particular?
Well,
you're not just strictly a Gouda man.
No.
You're artisanal and all.
Yeah,
that.
So right. Exactly.
What do you like?
Well, who doesn't love a Hook's 12 year with those great crystals in there or the Rush?
Sure,
Creek?
I would. But what is it? What are the crystals?
It's a terrific cheddar that then once it's stored for over the years and starting at about.
Oh, I've had that one.
Yeah,
time.
About 10 or 12 because the moisture leaves the cheese. And then these little salt crystals.
It like petrifies or
correct.
Something.
Correct. Yeah, on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's still edible. It's not petrified. Yeah, don't scare the people away.
For someone who's not into that daring, or maybe later, but where would you start with something that'll knock their socks off?
Well, I'd go with any of the Hooks. I mean, their 5 year is fantastic. Start there.
A 5 year Hook?
The 5 year Hook of cheddar.
And Hook, of course, means...
It's Tony Hooks.
Oh, Tony Hooks.
Tony Hooks. Yeah, that's their last name. In Wisconsin, we just... You know, the cheesemakers just use their last name or their name for the cheese. They don't.
Yeah. They don't put it in French or anything.
No, they don't get all highfalutin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, excellent. That's just excellent, Kyle. I want to thank you for stopping by.
Delighted.
You're my man.
Well, I don't know about that, but let's.
No,
it's nice to be here.
I'm going to fax you with all my food questions while they're happening.
I'm going to give me a take, because I'll have
if
to get
I can
a fax.
Find a fax.
I'll have to get a fax. No, I don't. Yeah.
Okay.
No. No.
All right. I'll upgrade.
I mean, but I can.
I'll get AOL in. You'll hear from me.
Yeah. Nice. We'll run through the office supply store, see what we can do.
Okay, you're done now.
Good. Take these off.
Kyle Cherik, ladies and gentlemen, Wisconsin foodie. You can see him on Wisconsin Public Television and many televisions, and also talking to a chef on that other show. And
you have
to go now, though, Kyle. Come on. Come on. You did very good, but let's not take over. You got that other show where he talks to chefs while they're trying to cook. John, you're like our foodie in our drinking. But we're on the road and stuff like, because you got a good sense of food, and you actually cook at home.
I do cook, yeah. But I don't think I'm that.
You're a gourmand, I think.
Yeah, thank you, but I don't think I am. But.
And Jeff is a gourmet.
So we're mond and met.
Mond and met now on the jazz piano and strange stringed device. Yes, so...
Smoky air.
I'm sorry?
Smoke room in French. It's going to be my new club. It's going to be
Schmuckus. It's Schmuckus in Yiddish.
Smoky air.
Nice, come back from the Schmucker.
Oh, we're always smoking.
I got to wash this shirt. I was back in the Schmucker there, and she was... Boy, the Schmuck was coming out of it. Holy cow. So here, a little number here. This is from a theme from a TV show that you're going to play now?
I don't know where this is from.
Bewitched, was it? Or?
Yeah, this is from the Bewitched husband, season 5.
Was it? Which husband was it?
This was Dirk.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we're going to play the What Do You Know quiz. A chance for you to win fabulous prizes simply by being fabulous. And can I get you to come here? And you are?
Betsy Ingram.
Betsy, where are you from?
I'm from Sheffield Lake, Ohio, just west of Cleveland.
Sheffield Lake, Ohio?
Yes.
Sounds very nice. It sounds romantic almost.
Well, maybe not, but it's a nice place.
Is there an actual Sheffield Lake?
There is Lake. I'm about half a mile from Lake Erie, which isn't called Sheffield, but it is.
Well, then I'm very confused. Now, you're on Lake Erie. But Sheffield Lake is the name of the town.
Exactly. Yes. So,
but there's no Sheffield Lake per se?
You're correct. We don't have 15,000 lakes in Ohio. We only have one great big one.
Okay. Anyhow, would you like to read this? I'll give you this. I certainly would.
The four disclaimers. Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, don't understand why I keep getting Taylor Swift news in my inbox. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
All right, don't take that with you. That was unusually good. That was very good. That was a little too good. That was very good. Well done. Let's see the hands of those of you now who care to raise a hand or anything you got there, an umbrella if you have one. Raise it in the air and indicate that you'd like to play the What Do You Know quiz. Much as this gentleman sitting in the back row seems to have walked in with his hand in that position. I'm not sure why that is. Is it in a cast, sir? I can't really tell. Meet me down here. Let's see if you qualify. I'll meet you over there. Meet me down that way. I don't know. No, his hand is not in the cast, I can see now. You may have just been stretching. Were you just stretching?
Yeah, I'm getting old, you know.
So. No, you are? It never happened to me. What's that like? What's your name?
My name is Dominic.
Dominic, are you?
I'm fine.
Good. Are you around?
But
yeah, fine. Stop with that already.
I'm St. Louis, Missouri.
From St. Louis? You're from St. Louis, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do you do in those parts?
I work at the St. Louis Science Center. I fix the stuff that the kids break. So,
Is it a kids' museum or?
Well, it's for all ages.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kids of all ages.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Dominic, give me one good reason you should play this quiz. Don't think about it too hard, Dominic.
I'm afraid I can't, Michael. I just want to.
He just wants to. What's better than that? Come on, Dominic. Come on. He just wants to. Dominic. Have a seat there, Dominic.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. So what can the kids do there at this place, sir, Dominic?
Oh, they do all sorts of stuff.
What things do they break?
Well, they break a lot of the electronic stuff.
Oh, do they?
They break
they
a lot of the...
try to take home components and stuff?
Mm-hmm. They smash. And I've seen the kids... tear apart a 100-pound or, you know, a 1,000-pound airline cable, just like rip it in half.
Do they chew through it or like my dog
does? Well, they haven't been told that they can't do it.
Yeah.
So, somehow they're
we have
able
to. Look
to.
At, contemporary parenting.
Mm-hmm.
I never have, but someone should look at it.
Yeah.
And why would they do that?
Fun.
Yeah. Airline. What's when? What is the airline? Is not connected to an airliner, I presume.
No, it's, you know, if they're holding an object that, like, they scan, you know, an object with a scanner.
Yeah.
And it's being held in place with an airline cable. They just automatically assume that it's for ripping apart.
So they rip it up because they want to walk off. They want to hold the scanner, in theory.
They just want to rip it apart.
Have you spoken? I mean, is that their motive? Maybe it's something else entirely.
Well, it's. I don't mind it because it's a job. Job security for me.
Yeah, job security.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, I was always taking things apart because I wanted to see, something like that.
Right.
But always when it was plugged in, so it was always a challenge. You know. It's that sort of thing. They want to see what's. Maybe not. What are some of the other things they can do there besides tear apart an airline?
There's a dig pit, so for archaeology kind of stuff.
Oh, they can dig in a pit?
Like plastic dirt, and they dig up artifacts and bones and that kind of stuff.
Real bones and plastic dirt?
Well,
or vice versa?
Neither are real.
But, okay.
If the kid has a graphic imagination, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're bamboozling this show. Is there an admission to get into this thing?
No. It's part of the Zoo Museum District in St. Louis.
Oh, cool.
And all because of a tax code, the zoo, the St. Louis Science Center, the museums, they're all free and open to the public.
Cool. Sounds cool. Mm-hmm. Now, I notice there's a prestige in a saxophone on your chest. Does that mean you're a sax player?
Yes, I am.
You are?
Yeah.
I knew there was something about you.
Well, I was here like 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And
did you have your axe with you?
No, I didn't. And you said, oh, that's great. Thank you.
Did you have your axe with you?
No, I didn't.
No, neither one, huh?
Right.
Okay, and are you playing in a band now or playing around or just for your own?
Yeah, I've been playing for since I was about 15, and I'm 57 now, so that's
a long time.
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah. Are you getting it yet or not?
I'm still curious as to how it works.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I put my mouth on one part of it, and sound comes out the other, and I move my fingers around, and boom, done.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah,
it's a tough one though, saxophone, isn't it? I mean, because the reed is everything, right?
You gotta love
your reed, don't you?
The reed's everything, but
it's the tone.
It's nice because I prefer the older pipes as far as tone is concerned. For this trip, as a matter of fact, I came up to inherit a pipe from my niece's.
When you say a pipe now, you don't mean.
I mean a saxophone.
Yes, okay. I don't know all the jargon, so.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right.
But I inherited a 1934, we think it's 1934, Kahn from Elkhart, Indiana.
Kahn, K-A-H-N?
C-O-O-N.
Yes, that's what I thought.
And
the Kahn Instrument Company is very famous, isn't it?
Yeah, the gentleman my niece's godfather, played it all through the war.
Oh.
And
on our side or theirs?
Ours, I believe. Yeah. most definitely ours. I shouldn't say I believe because I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, but.
Did he play during the war? That'd be kind of dangerous.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
He played it before, like in resistance jazz bands, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Fighting the fascists, to say in its own little way.
This pipe fights fascists.
Yeah. I'm going to get a little sticker for it. Alan would be proud.
Very good. Well, Dominic, the quiz here works.
I sure do.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Do they?
You know how this works?
Actually, if people...
Why do I want to keep forgetting how this works?
No.
How does this work?
Well, if people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WACK-NOW with a K. And they can answer this qualifying question, which you will now ask.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
See, after dismembering the state and selling the parts, the Wisconsin legislature lightened up a bit by proposing what innovative hunting advance? Innovation in hunting. You know, they just having some fun right in the middle of all this. What is that innovation in Wisconsin in hunting proposed? And let's go right now to Greensboro, North Carolina, where they're bound to not know. Right, Craig? You don't know what this is, right?
I think I did hear about this.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. Is it something about the color?
Could be.
Okay, they can wear, I think instead of blaze orange, they get to wear pink. Or that pink is acceptable.
Blaze pink? You're talking about blaze pink?
Well, I guess so.
Yes, that's right, Greg. Unbelievable. I wouldn't have thought you'd know that out there in Greensboro, North Carolina. Are you a hunter?
I'm not a hunter. I think I heard that on NPR one morning.
Well, that figures. They always get everything first over there. I hate that. Blaze pink.
Hey, Michael, you and I have actually met in person once under kind of funny circumstances.
Oh, boy. What was it?
You were on Michael Palooza, and you were on the bus tour, and you were staying at the farm of a coworker of mine, and so she invited some people up for a cookout. And,
yeah, were you there? That was one of the best times ever. Remember, John?
Well, apparently for you, that it was. And I was on my way up, and I've always thought that one of the underappreciated things about your show is the preparation you do when you have an author or a guest on. So I was thinking of these very insightful questions to ask to make a connection with you, and I got there, and I said, hey, Michael, do you ever have a guest who gets on, an author or a guest that just doesn't understand the show and doesn't get it? And you looked at me and you said, oh, yeah, all the time. And then you just kind of looked at me and then you said, and if I hadn't had so much beer, I could probably come up with a couple of examples.
Yeah. I know, but I didn't have to. It wasn't working. I know. But, you know, I'll tell you what it was. It was the moonshine. They brought us moonshine.
A lot of moonshine.
All the neighbors brought their moonshine over there.
Big quarts of moonshine appeared out of the woods.
Yeah. What?
That's
yes.
Really?
And sweet. You could hardly drink the whole jar. It was so sweet. I honestly don't. It was like peach.
Some
moonshine.
Of it was peach, what? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think you're supposed to drink the whole jar.
Oh, okay. Now you tell me. Craig, this is Dominic. He's your partner here.
Hi, Craig.
Hi, Dominic.
Hey.
He's a science museum guy from St. Louis and plays the pipe.
I did hear that.
Yeah. And Craig, what do you do out there in Greensboro?
I work for a nonprofit leadership training outfit called the Center for Creative Leadership.
Oh, great. Are you trying to make a profit and just haven't made one yet?
There's money.
Okay. All right, two of you work as a team. It's collaborative. We have various categories, don't we, Mike?
We do. The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Craig, what would you like?
In Dominic's honor, I'll pick science.
All science, right. Okay.
Yeah.
He just works there, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. You know science?
I just fix stuff.
He fixes stuff. All right, if you fall into a small black hole, a small one, one of the following will happen. Will you A, be spit right back out? Will you B, be this far apart from another black hole? Or C, will you be spaghettied infinitely? Your very person will form in a line of spaghetti that never ends, as far as you know.
Mm. Craig, I don't know. I'd go with A.
I think hunters are allowed to wear pink now.
Okay, yeah, let's go with pink.
All right, so which one, where are you leaning on this then?
I'll go with Dominic. He's the science guy.
Yeah. No, you'll be spaghettied. You'll actually be spaghettied because of the gravity from the thing will come at you. And so there, that would be...
That would be zero right and one wrong.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Nobody ever loses this quiz. You'd have to be really out of it to lose this quiz.
All right. So
no whole empanada for me, huh?
The remaining categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Okay.
Odds and ends.
You like to cook, Dominic?
Yes, I do.
You seem like you'd be a guy who
I cooked handy. For 15 years.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you like to, what's your pièce de résistance?
Cajun cooking.
Yes.
I love cooking a big bat of crawfish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Watch them squirm.
Do you make an
A2? Bye!
That was the best crawfish imitation of a goodbye I've ever heard about.
That sounds like some good eating.
Oh, yeah.
I love it when they say goodbye as you're eating. As you suck the tamale out of their head.
Yeah, that's right. And squeeze the tips.
Please. Okay. Do you have an etouffee that's been cooking for the past 10 years?
No, but I...
You're supposed to save it, right? I mean, that's...
I make the killer red beans and rice.
Oh, that sounds good. Okay, anyhow, what did you say? Did you want a category?
Odds and ends.
Oh, yes, okay. Oh, pardon me.
Oh, I want?
What? No.
Oh, okay.
We'll take your bags up to the room if you want. Should you leave the umbilical on for a while or shouldn't you? Umbilical cord, I guess this would be.
I still have mine.
That's why you're in a non-for-profit out there. You know?
I guess that answers that question.
Yeah. What does he need? He's got an umbilical. He doesn't need profit.
I always hear him say the first thing they do is cut the cord.
Yeah. Well, let's ask Craig then.
I think there's some science about not cutting it, that there's some health benefit to not cutting it quite so
soon. Right, leave it on. Not as long as middle school, for example.
I'll go with that.
Yes, okay, that's good. That's right. That went. I'd say sixth grade the most. And then...
So we have one right, one wrong, and we have some remaining categories. Current events, yeah. People, places, and things you should have learned in school.
Okay, back to Craig.
Let's try school.
School it is. This is something you should have learned in school. I hadn't been paying attention. There is perfect pitch. There's such a thing as perfect pitch, as we know by two movies so far. Is there such a thing as perfect hue? That is someone who can pick out color and the same color, identify it, and under any circumstance. Perfect hue. You can show someone just that color, and they'll know exactly what that color is.
Black.
there's that new perfect black
they got out now.
Perfect pitch is a perfect hue. Perfect color.
Dominic, when I got out of college, I worked for a paint company, and we had to go through training to learn how to recognize different colors. Yeah. And some people were really good at it, and some weren't. I'd lean towards a yes on that one.
Okay, that sounds.
But it was difficult, wasn't it?
It was very difficult.
Yeah, so that should give you an
idea. Nobody could do all the people had different skills of different colors.
So no one
nobody
really had,
could do them all.
No one had perfect hue. Then you're saying.
I'm saying no.
I mean, there are billions.
Yeah, no. It's very no. You can't. Very good. Colors are all judged relative to one another.
Billions of
otherwise
billions,
we can't do it.
Billions of colors.
Yeah, billions and billions.
That would be two right colors. And one wrong.
Billions.
Right. Two
yes.
Right, one wrong.
Whatever you said.
Yeah, and...
You're keeping track, aren't you?
Yeah, sure I am. Yeah, I'm doing a good job.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or it's back to middle management for you.
Could happen any day now.
Yeah.
Remaining categories are current events, people, and places.
Okay. Dominic.
People.
People it is. People.
Where I like what people? You did there, Michael. Thank you. What did I do? That last question.
Oh.
That's very nice.
Gave it to you, you mean?
I'm not going to help
you on this one. Okay. Presented with three empty stalls in a men's room, I presume, men tend to go to the middle stall. Where do women go? Not in the same room. So, okay, men, three stalls, all empty, men will go in the middle one. Okay, where do women go in the same situation? Three empty stalls, do they go to the right, they go to the left, or do they go to the middle?
Well, they definitely don't go to the middle because that doesn't leave the buffer zone.
Very good thinking, Craig. Honest to God. I can see why you're at a nonprofit there. That is very good thinking. Okay, at least the left or the right.
Well,
you know, you guys know a woman well enough to be told this happens.
Most people go together,
two women go together, then what? That would be a factor, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they would split, and one would go to each. And
once again, no middle. So that
and
makes
if they
sense.
Went three, and we'd be.
I don't know
really
why they do that. I never knew why they did that.
I know in amusement parks, people pick the right-hand line more frequently.
So you're saying to the right?
Let's go.
That's
right.
What I'm leaning towards.
To the right, yes, to the right. Although to the left is very close. Holy cow! They've won. Congratulations, gentlemen. I knew you'd pull this off.
Oh, and I should tell them what they won? Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say anything. I'm just looking at you. And,
oh, okay. You know. Well, then what would you like me to do?
I would like you to say what they want.
Oh, well, wonderful. I'll do that. Hey, Dominic, you can bring back memories of your Italian childhood, real or imagined, with a jar of Carmella's House Marinara Sauce from Carmella's Bistro in Appleton, made with love shared from the heart. And Craig, you'll start your day with the way the What Do You Know audience does, although apparently I didn't this morning, with Steep & Brew's Breakfast Blend Coffee, and continue the good Java vibe with rich and smooth Costa Rican Terasu from Madison's Steep & Brew Coffee, coffee done right. And each of you can celebrate 30 years of scintillating radio comedy wearing the What Do You Know XXX t-shirt, not much since 1985, and entertain friend and foe alike playing the What Do You Know The Party Game, including contestants, questions, cards, and the youthfully dapper Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to both of you.
All right.
I don't know about that dapper part there. Youthfully dapper.
Thank you so much,
thanks,
Michael.
Thanks, Dominic. Thanks for playing.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, great to see you. Craig, hang on. Make sure you get all that stuff. Thanks for playing.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Big fan of the show.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Hi, gentlemen.
How you doing?
We got a little time here. You feel like playing a little something?
Yeah, this is a tune by the original psychedelic man, Mr. Richard Rodgers.
Yes, love Richard Rodgers. Love him.
There's plenty of more What Do You Know fun just ahead. In the next hour, we welcome happy-ish actress Catherine Hahn. Plus, we go trekking through all the news that is and play another round of the What Do You Know quiz. That's all coming up when we return. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Welcome back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. I'm Stephanie Lee. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, with Mike Arnold announcing. In this hour of What Do You Know, we welcome happy-ish star Catherine Hahn. Plus, we truck through all the news that is and play a sunset round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
And now, the man who made me what I was earlier, Michael Feldman.
What? I did what? Yes, but who made you what you were yesterday is the question.
I don't know. That was the worst intro ever, wasn't it? Round of applause for the worst intro ever.
No. Why? What was so bad about it?
Oh, was it? Oh, okay.
You think the delivery was bad?
Yeah, my delivery, yeah.
Want to do it again?
No, I'd rather not.
Okay. Here's some of all the news that that is. You know, we do all the news that isn't. That usually doesn't work, so we try all the news that is. And it's always around here, you know, somewhere around here, because that's where we are. And, this is not a big deal here, but on tap today, and the Brewers and Pauly Shore in Milwaukee. What a day. The Brewers and Pauly Shore. I was just saying. Oh, and, of course, the Dustin Diamonds thing, you know, Port Washington there. I guess where he's on trial, actually, in Ozaukee County Court, right? Is that Port Washington? Same thing? Yeah. Because he stabbed a guy because he's been screeched too long, too late in life. And I say, let him go. He suffered enough at a screech. So I guess he was convicted just of misdemeanors, though, just of being screech as a misdemeanor. But this one is a really good one here from La Crosse Updated. Viroqua. It's Viroqua, isn't it? I always say it wrong.
Yeah, it's Viroqua.
Yeah, a Viroqua man takes wild ride to retrieve stolen pickup. This could only happen, I think, in Wisconsin. I'm not sure. Possibly other places. Viroqua Dwight Zeitlow said profound calm and relaxation came over him Friday afternoon while he was lying in the bed of a stolen pickup truck hurtling down a rural road east of Coon Valley at 70 miles an hour. This is a great story. I love it. So Wisconsin, I love it. I don't know what was going to happen, but I never thought I would die this way. I thought I would die of old age, Zeitlow, 55, of Viroqua, said. So I just relaxed and wrote it out. Zeitlow's pickup truck was stolen 3.5 weeks ago in Viroqua. The Viroqua man kept an eye out for it. He came across it Friday afternoon as he approached Coon Valley. In what Vernon County Sheriff John Spears characterizes as a bizarre retrieval effort, Zeitlow, a self-proclaimed crazy old hippie, hopped in the back of the truck, a Ford F-150, after he blocked it at an intersection with his car. I lost my presence of mind, he said. And jumped in back. The driver was someone of Viroqua. According to Spears, he was since been apprehended in Hoka, Minnesota. He only goes to places that rhyme, apparently. He took off his Zeitlow in the bed of the vehicle for a half hour on rural roads and into fields, did donuts, drove through ditches, and tried other maneuvers to throw Zeitlow from the truck. Zeitlow said he had a lot of experience riding in the back of trucks in his youth. And during the harrowing ride, he braced himself while throwing items out of the truck to create a trail and draw the attention of law enforcement. I guess there's some breadcrumbs back there or something. There's a lot of junk back there. And I was getting it out to get attention, and so the junk would stop beating me up. One item, a chainsaw. Probably a running chainsaw, given Wisconsin pickup truck. Cut Zeitlow's leg, a wound that required 7 stitches. What's his name? Give up near Sofia. Zeitlow said the truck was in a field and was speeding up. He saw something leave the vehicle through the corner of his eye. The driver had bailed, leaving the truck running through the field, Zeitlow said. The truck was, this is good stuff, isn't it? You can't make this.
It's dramatic.
Was headed toward trees, a playground set at a farm and a conspicuous propane tank. But wait, it gets better. I thought of going out the back, but the tailgate was hanging by a cable and flailing around. And that wasn't good, Zeitlow said. I thought about trying to climb into the cab because the driver's door was still ajar, but then I thought if I missed it, I might fall and get hit by the tailgate. So I just decided to hang on. The truck crashed into the trees first, then that threw Zeitlow down from the vehicle, which hit the playground set and stopped short of the propane tank. Zylo said he sat in the yard near the totaled truck for a while before authorities arrived. He told his story to at least five different people. No one believed him. Okay. It was my truck, and I was there, but I was telling them I wasn't the driver, and I didn't know who was. So I can see why it took them a while to believe me, Zeitlow said. They were asking me how much I had to drink or were thinking I was on something. Zeitlow was not only cut in the crash, but also suffered a painful back injury when the truck hit a field furrow. Still, he said, the moment of clarity he had when he was able to relax, help prepare his body for the eventual impacts and final crash. I'm healing up surprisingly fast, but I am sore, he said. So there you go. That's tribute here to Viroqua's Dwight Zeitlow for having presence of mind and a moment of clarity. Okay. I'm so excited. I have Catherine Hahn is online with us from Los Angeles in a parked car. Let's find out why right now. She is the star of a new show, by the way, on Showtime called Happiness with Steve Coogan. It's a great show. If you haven't seen it, you've got to see it. It's the best. And Catherine, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Can you do that crazy? Can you beat your car wheel and top of it and dashboard and do that crazy scream you did in that last?
I did, but maybe I just did. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have two little kids, and it's a Saturday morning, and I just figured if you wanted to have not a lot of screaming children as ambient noise, maybe mommy took a drive.
Oh, so you're sitting in the—is it in your driveway, or is it where did you?
No, I'm down the street. I went down the street to. We have a little farmer's market. So I picked up some stuff, and then I just kind of pulled over.
That's awfully sweet of you.
So bizarre.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
I love happiness. Don't you love happiness?
I do love happiness.
Yeah.
Are you talking about happiness just as a concept, or happy-ish the show?
No, the concept.
The
I never talk about the concept. It doesn't work for me.
Happiness. Well, the show is happy-ish.
Happy-ish.
Yes, I do love it. I love it so much. I love Shalom Auslander, our writer. I just think she's got such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful messed up brain.
Yeah,
that man.
Amazing.
Yeah,
and I love the unexpected things, like the show the other week where everyone, you and Steve Coogan as a couple, hated everyone who read the New York Times in New York.
Yes,
I thought that was unexpected. I think all these people are sitting here reading the New York Times. Why?
I know. It's kind of a gorgeous shot of everybody on that train.
Yeah.
Reading the paper, except for I know. It's beautiful. They're like little short stories, these episodes, I think.
Yeah.
And they get like richer and deeper as the show, as the season goes on. Yeah, I could not be prouder.
Yeah.
I really couldn't.
And what's good about it is so much of it is you.
Now,
I mean, because we always get to see you as a person who comes in and does something really weird in a movie. But, you know. Like these strange moments that no one else could pull off, and you pull them off, and they're wonderful, and they're amazing, and I can't believe they both had their hands inside of her trying to deliver her baby in an organic food store. You know, that's a little unusual. Right? I mean.
I love, out of context, that is a very interesting story.
Yeah.
Image to probably imagine. Yeah. No, I know. It's been an awesome couple of years in that department, just in terms of like, being asked to play and get into these like very just surreal, real, very just like human behavior, like smaller work, which has been really, really, really satisfying. And yeah, I mean, Lee Payne is just the best. The part I play on Happy-ish, I just think she's just so rad. And
she's
I just wish I had a little bit more of Lee in me, in my sometime I'm learning a ton. I mean, she just is like says her truth, and it's so hard to do that.
Well, she's a little like, she's a painter too, and you're a painter, are you not?
I mean, I have dabbled with paint, yes. I would not consider myself a painter in any way. But I do love it. We had our couch downstairs in our living room for a while. We just got rid of it because we felt it was time. But we basically let them. We covered it with canvas and let them like graffiti it. It was very cool, actually.
Very cool. Good
kind
idea.
Kind of awesome. Yeah,
and
it was very, very fun.
You know what? When I say this is about you, I really like it because we knew from all these incidents and all these movies where you were this the kind of stole the movie. But it was totally bizarre. We knew there was a lot more to you, and this in Happy-ish, we get to see that as we did in the movie with the sex worker. That was good too.
Oh, absolutely. been a delight. Yeah, yeah. That was my first collaboration with Jill Soloway, who's pretty, yeah. A force of nature. Yes, and she's awesome. That was kind of a turning point for me, for sure.
Yeah.
That movie. Yeah, I know. I don't know what it is about me that I've kind of have been typecast in these kind of like unhinged for a very long time.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know. I went to school. I was like, I wanted to be like a serious theater actress.
Yeah.
You know, that's still like my, and I think I was always kind of probably the class clown, though, to be frank.
Yeah. And you were a stage actor, and mm-hmm. Was that at Northwestern where you started?
Northwestern, and then I went to grad school at Yale, and then so there was it was just the best. Yeah, it was just kind of like a rigorous monastic 3 years where I just did nothing. We rehearsed Hamlet at 2 a.m, and I didn't have a television, and I was the best. It was the greatest, and I knew that it wasn't going to necessarily like help my career per se. I was kind of taking myself out of the game at like an ingenue period, and I knew, but I also knew that I just didn't want to be, I just very naively probably just took on a ton of student loans and just was like, let me just have this 3 years to just do the work and the roles that I would love to, and just jump into everything and just have faith that it will, that it will all work out. But
you want to be a complex character once in a while.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I would hope too that I never anticipated kind of like working in that big, big studio comedy world at all. But I really did find myself, it all comes from the same place, I guess. You have to root it in some, you can tell when something's real, real surfacey, and when something's kind of rooted to just like a need. And I think that's always so much more interesting.
Yeah.
Even in those comedies.
Yeah. I got to ask you though, are you actually Jewish, or do you play Jewish?
No, I've always been playing Jewish, which I love. I'm married to a Jew for a very, very long time. But I myself.
So you paid your dues, but not your Jews. So much.
Yeah. I paid my Jews too, guys. I've been married. Yeah, my husband and I have been together we've been married 12 years, together like 22. And I was brought up Roman Catholic. I went to Catholic school like all through high school. And, this has been, and I'm kind of like a recovering Catholic, if you know what I'm saying. But I've learned so much through this process of Transparent. That was a show in which I play a rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, Happy-ish. Yeah, no, it's been awesome. My first movie, I played a character named Michelle Rubin, which I should have known, was leading. I could not be more flattered. And I've been talking with this, and there's this amazing lady rabbi out here named Susan Goldberg, who's just been extraordinary to talk with, and she's been really patient. And, it's awesome. I couldn't have anticipated it, but I really do.
Yeah. By the way, you and with Jane Lynch as your psychiatrist was like the best thing ever.
Oh, forget it.
The interactions there were absolutely amazing. Perfect.
She's the most she's the most like self-involved therapist. I love that part so much.
Yeah.
She had low blood sugar. I love that the therapist just had to like open up her quinoa and start eating during our session.
That
she brought from home.
Yeah. And she kept talking about her problems instead of yours.
Her perimenopausal low blood sugar.
And her relationship problems.
Now, it's good when you got to take care of your therapist.
Yeah, that's a bad thing. I have a little clip here from Happy-ish, if you don't mind. Would you mind? It's a couple minutes.
No,
but
please.
You know what? Because I just think
I love listening to the sound of my own voice.
Yeah. Well, there's not much of it. You know what this is? I think it's like the most difficult comedy thing I can imagine. It's that scene what's your character's name?
Lee.
Lee finally gets a chance to paint. She gets to, they're in upstate New York, and she gets a barn that she can paint in.
Uh-huh.
And she's totally frustrated that she hasn't been able to, and finally gets it, and she's gleeful. And the guy who owns the barn comes in and starts interrupting her, first of all, and then talking, puts her in a situation which is unbelievable. And it's all about your reactions
okay,
to him.
Good.
Do we have that?
Are you from New York?
Long Island, Jewish, self-loving, Holocaust, theological ambivalence, disappointment to my mother, the whole shebang. Walter, I think I only have a couple more hours, so I think I'm just going to get back to work. But thank you so much for stopping.
I lost most of my family in the camps.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to...
The death camps.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. In Poland. Oh,
yeah, of course.
Well, who didn't back then, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Life goes on.
Life goes on. Life goes on. Ah.
Not for my parents, though.
No.
My mother died in Auschwitz in the gas chambers.
Uh-huh.
My father didn't, though.
No?
No. The typhoid. Bergen-Belsen.
Oh, right.
Sister, I mean, my oldest sister, Ruth, she was in the resistance.
Oh, wow. Good for her.
Not for long, though.
No?
The Nazis found them about a week after she joined.
I see.
Shot her in the back of the head.
Ruth.
Point blank.
Yeah, sure. Oof. Wow.
My youngest sister, Tamar, she survived Treblinka.
She did?
Of course, the liberators gave them all food. And she ate too quickly.
Uh-oh.
Died 2 days later.
Mm.
Diarrhea.
That'll do her.
Terrible medico. I knew others.
Okay.
And that was you later in the car. That's just trying to get you to do up there on the street, Bonnie.
Good.
We had to transpose the her expletive at the height of that, which is the best use of that word I've ever heard, by the way. But I said, can you make it, you know, sound like, run it backwards, like cuff, you know, because it's public radio, you know. But that what an amazing scene. How hard was that?
I mean, well, we shot in Woodstock, in beautiful Woodstock, yeah. And apparently it was the coldest winter in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the memory of that scene for me is basically having my sweet makeup artist come up and try to touch up around my nose and me just saying, like, honey, you know you've just smeared mucus all over my face. Like, we were so cold, so freezing in this barn. It was hilarious. And the gentleman who plays the old man is so good,
yeah.
So good.
Who is
and,
that?
Donald Margulies, and he was in Ghostbusters. He was the mayor in the original Ghostbusters.
Oh, no kidding.
I mean, among so many other things.
Yeah.
He's just a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant actor, and we shot that at like 2 a.m. He's so game too.
He was so perfect in this.
So perfect. And also because we kept, I mean, it was so, when we had the first read through for that, and we were all, you know, I mean, there's so much of this script that you're like, oh, you read it and it's like cringe worthy because it's a pretty really intense and dark scene, like what they're talking about.
It's an impossible situation in terms of
it's
ranching.
An impossible situation because she's like, I mean, it's horrible what he's describing. It's absolutely horrible. And then this is it's her literally her 2 hours to be able to, so she's trying to reconcile. Like,
yeah. And plus it goes
it's
on.
So good.
We had to cut out the part where he talks about his sister's cat and all the diseases and all the.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it goes to the Holocaust to just like literally, her cat's.
Yeah.
His sister's cat diabetes.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah,
those people
good.
Do are around.
Yeah. Did you try various reactions?
Oh, yeah. We went through it a gazillion. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It was so fun. I mean, it was when it starts to get like, oh, and then at a certain point, which they didn't use, which made me laugh, like we just kept repeating the word diarrhea. Because the end of that scene, because we are and probably so immature. But he just made me laugh. And this because the straighter you play it, the more you're like, oh, God, we just wanted to, it was one of those scenes where the crew is just giggling, because the build is so perfectly written into the scene. I mean, Shalom wrote such a beautiful scene.
Yeah, amazing. And it's all set against our heroine's need to get her life back
Yeah.
To herself.
Right. Her
you
niece
know.
Is like, for meaning. Yes, yeah. Exactly. And finally gets this barn. That freak out that she has, which is kind of like a theme through the season, too, which I love. That she just has these moments, which I think a lot of us do, which is just like, take it out. You know, like I love that image of that woman just like freaking out in the car. And then there's an episode coming up in which she does the same thing and hears something and looks over and sees another woman in a car doing the exact same thing.
That frustration. You do that frustration amazingly well.
Honey, I like to work it out on camera. That's
yeah,
my thing.
Yeah. Does that occur in real life, too? Are you able to do that? I mean, because
no,
that'd be a jerk.
I wish. But you know what I feel? And I'm sure so many actors that you talk to would say the same thing. Like, I feel so much more fearless in my work than in my real life. I mean, for sure, there must be something, of course, in it that's, you know, and I'm a pretty... You know, I wouldn't say fearful, but I'm like a cautious human. I'm definitely more optimistic than Lee Payne for sure. But I there is a freedom in the work, like this, the jumping. I've got two kids. I have a hubby. I've got like the sweetest house. Like I love my life, love my family, and there is like I think it's like this like awesome little like rebellion valve that you can have when you're working. That's kind of feels good.
Do you get to work with animated characters? I've only seen the first five, I guess, so far. Because like Steve Coogan gets to actually sleep with a Keebler elf in the because he's an advertising executive.
Yes, yes. I have like a relationship with Dora the Explorer, and that is appealing. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else that happens in the season.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot. I mean, yeah, there's we are able. I couldn't believe it when we first jumped into it too that they could use the actual. Names of these like products and you know characters and all and they just walks a fine
yeah
fine,
what they did fine. With what they did with the Keebler elves and most of it was obscene and there is a mass murder among the elves and how do they get permission from Keebler for that
there is and I'm gonna say it wrong because I shouldn't be the but there is apparently a difference between parody and satire there's some sort of a legal loophole that they're able to like slip in.
Yeah. I love that the when he's doing because he's a disaffected ad executive, account executive.
Yes.
And very disaffected. And
yes.
This thing that with the Nestle water thing that he hears about while he's on his commuter train has just killed a passenger on the tracks before pulling into the station, so he's stuck there in the train. So there's all that going on. And he's listening to this pitch from the Nestle's water people about how they are the answer. The answer to pollution is Nestle's water in a bottle.
Yes, right, because it's the clean water. Yeah. That was their pitch, yeah.
And that's the pitch, and he's going crazy with all this type of thing going on in advertising. You know?
Yes.
So it's so cool.
It's a comedy.
Yeah. And what's cool about them as a couple is, at least the way it's set up, is he does the Catholic take on all this angst and anxiety and anger or whatever it is. And disaffection, and she does the Jewish take on it, and they work very well in tandem. I think the two
it's kind of like the same. You know, it really comes from the same pool. I feel like, but that's the thing that was really imperative to us, and what was so beautiful about the script, and these two people are you know, like so much for whatever they're searching. For and not getting or dissatisfied with, like the one true joy is their family. Like that's like it was really important for us to show like a marriage that are it's a partnership. Like they're really, if they could just like chip off like a chunk of the ice of the glacier and just like kind of just like float off into the ocean, just the three of them, they would be so, that's all they would want in the world. They just want to protect that little family. And, you know, that was really important to us to show that the love between them was not going to be the source of any sort of drama. You know, usually you see it, so many in these shows like, you know, the like edge, the like, you know, not satisfied with the mayor like that. And it was important for us to say like that there, that was not the source of it.
Right.
Was their marriage.
And she's such a great character. I mean, the way she tells off the mother of of the child that, child that was bullying her child at school, and then
I know
who there was everybody's favorite. That was amazing.
Yeah, there was a great scene in the pilot, in the an original pilot, like a flashback, which was not there was not ended up not in the one that we shot, but he. Where there's a flashback of them with their very young child. They have a son named Julius, and when he was a newborn, they were taking a. There's a great scene of us on a plane. It when introducing the character of Lee, it was like a flashback to us on a plane, and I'm trying to like nurse him on this plane, and he's screaming, and it's crowded, and it's like the woman in front, you know, keeps turning around and like giving evil eyes, and then she just lets this woman have it in the best way, in a way that I just remember as a mom of two and being on planes and that horrible feeling. Oh, I wish I could have done that as a mom myself.
Yeah, yeah.
But that definitely was like, when I read that, I thought, oh, I want to play this person.
Yeah.
I just love it.
Superb.
I love it. Because it's like, it's just everybody's doing the best they can. It's like, the, you know, and everybody also tries to justify their decisions by judging everybody, especially when you're a new parent. That's what I feel. And I love that you just call people out on it. It's just awesome. Awesome.
Well, once again, it is called Happy-ish. I got that right this time. It's on Showtime. It's a great show. You should really be watching this. And what's Steve Coogan like to work with? Pretty cool guy, I bet.
Oh, he's the worst.
Yeah, he's the worst.
It's been a nightmare.
Tan's a nightmare. No, pretty bad, I think.
I get it. Yeah, I'm post-traumatic. No, he's...
he's so smart, though. Yeah. Isn't that a drag? Someone, I mean, he's so educated or something.
He's so smart.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's sometimes... he's the best. He's as silly as they come. I really love him. But at the beginning, it was... It was very, you know, he's such a, like, a comedy scientist, and he's so, like, his joke, you know, he's so clean, and he's, like, and I always, and he's, you know, his voice is so beautiful, and he dresses so well, and he's, like, he's so, such a gentleman, and I would just be, like, this rat-haired little cousin, like, sitting next to him, just, like, just a mess, and I always felt like, I was, like, oh, I gotta get it together, I can barely find a noun. He's awesome.
It works, though. It's a working couple. Thank you, Catherine.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you, Catherine, so much for parking and talking with us.
Thank you, guys. Have a good rest of your day.
Real pleasure. Catherine Hahn, ladies and gentlemen, parked somewhere in Los Angeles. Oh, God. Happy-ish. Showtime. You got to see her. And you've probably seen her in a lot of movies, don't even realize that she was the one who did that. All right. Do you feel like something where the bass gets walked or something?
Yeah. Yeah. We could work that off.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Michael Feldman.
Let's hear it for my frames, ladies and gentlemen. Because it ain't the glasses, it's the frames. All right, dear Hart, can I get you to stand up here and just say hello? Because you wore a hat. You wore this hat especially for me?
Yes.
And is this a special hat? Let's see, people see who you are here. What's your name?
Gemma.
Gemma?
Mm-hmm.
Very pretty name. And are you from around here?
Yeah.
You are? Where around here?
Here.
Okay. You live in Madison, in other words.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And the hat is, it's kind of fuchsia, isn't it?
Hot pink.
Hot pink? To me, it's the same thing as fuchsia, but I don't know. But it does have lights that go on and off, and it's got a fuzzy thing around the end, kind of silvery fuzzy thing. And where'd you get that?
My Aunt Kathy.
She did?
Yeah.
Recently?
A year ago.
Was there an occasion involved?
The rodeo.
Oh, you went to a rodeo?
Yeah.
Did she get it at the rodeo? Is that?
I looked at it and I said I wanted it, and she got it for my birthday.
Oh, cool. And are you a rodeo fan?
Definitely.
Yeah. What do you like? What events?
The bulls.
You like the bulls?
Yeah.
No kidding. They look kind of scary, doesn't it?
Yeah, but they're cute.
Yeah. Do you do anything like that yourself? I mean, not bulls necessarily, but barrel racing, anything like that? Do you do any horse?
No.
Yeah.
I have dogs.
Yeah. Barrel racing would be really good. You know, you get a little horse and you train it and go through those barrels. And
yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. Just need a horse now. Get your aunt to get you a horse next time. Tell her you got the hat. A nice pony or something like that.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. And where are you going to school? Where do you school right now?
Randall Elementary.
Randall Elementary. My girls went there. The Fighting Raccoons.
I'm going to middle school next year.
Are you? Yeah. Which one are you going to?
Hamilton.
Hamilton, where they went to. Hamilton, the Fighting, I forget what they are, at Hamilton. Pretty exciting. Are you looking forward to middle school? Or?
Not really.
No. You know, because the same thing with my daughter. Well, with Nora especially, she was like, by the end where are you going to school now? Randall. She like owned the place, you know. But then middle school, it's all different, you know.
Yeah.
You'll be great.
Thanks. Okay.
Any questions you have for me or anything?
Do you have any pets?
Yes, I do. I have a new little dog that is killing me. It was supposed to be a Bigapoo. A Bigapoo.
Yeah. We have a Chihuahua.
Oh, that's bad too. Yeah.
His name is Topo Gigio.
Oh, that figures too. That's from Ed Sullivan. That was way before your time.
Yeah.
But yeah, because you know Chihuahuas think they're a lot bigger than they are.
Yeah, my I think our Chihuahua is like the only Chihuahua that's nice in the world.
It's nice.
Yeah.
It's relaxed.
Yeah, he's really old.
Oh, that's good. Well, that helps, I think.
He's like 14.
Yeah.
Yeah.
14. Yeah, I should be so old. 14 is not bad. My dog isn't. She's 7 months old now, and she's just crazy. She's insane. But she's really smart and smart crazy, you know? Like,
yeah.
Really smart. She's supposed to be like half a poodle and half a beagle, but I don't see which halves are which or why is, or if that was really, it was from an Amish farm, you know, the guy. And who knows what goes on in the barn out there, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. And, but I mean, I love her and everything like that, but she's crazy smart. Just last night. All right. So I'm trying to watch a movie on. Like a Catherine Hahn movie, so I can know what to talk about her. Yeah. So I watch another room, and the dog is playing with a little tennis ball, you know, those little ones like that, and they squeak and everything. All right, so I throw them, and then just to get her away from me, I throw the ball, and she goes to the next room, and brings it back. But then about every third time I throw it, she ends up barking from the other room, and the ball has gone under this cabinet in the hallway, which it shouldn't be able to get under. Because the opening is about this big, the ball is a little bit bigger, and there's no way that it can roll under that. And it happened four times in a row. I had to go up, and she was barking, and I had to come in the ball, and I have to move this whole cabinet out of the way, and the ball is back. So the next time she's barking, I go back there, and I see her pushing the ball under the cabinet. You know, it's crazy.
I think she wanted your attention.
Apparently, and I had to move this damn cabinet. That's why my back is killing me. Yeah, so I thought it was coincidence all the time. I was rolling under there, but she was doing it.
Yeah.
Your Chihuahua do stuff like that?
No, but he bothers my other dog.
Oh, you have another one?
Yeah. My dog, Leroy, they play fight, and Leroy always tries to eat Topo's paws.
Okay. As long as it's play.
Yeah.
Still got all four paws, though, at this point?
Yeah, he does.
That's cool. Very nice to meet you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
We have a little something for you, too. What do we have that we can... Can we give her one of the T-shirts?
Sure, we can do that.
Yeah.
Actually, I was thinking we could follow the Instagram canine superstar across the country and find Momo from coast to coast, photography by Andrew Knapp from Quirk Books, which is a book.
Yeah,
about
and give
the
her
dog.
A T-shirt.
And a T-shirt, too. What the heck?
Yeah.
I don't have a copy for that, though. So
okay.
We'll just have to imagine a T-shirt in our minds.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
Very nice to meet you. Good luck with everything. Good luck at Hamilton. It'll be fine. You'll love it. Oh, I was going through the rest of these that I didn't get to say hello to you, though. Do you want to say hello? Because you dressed so pretty for the show. Did you pick the dress out yourself?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
It's got pink flowers on a blue background, and there's some blue flowers in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find it right away and just walk in there, and there was that dress?
Yeah.
It's amazing. You have very good taste.
Thank you.
Do you like to dress up a lot, dresses and such?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
You have a large wardrobe of things?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very nice. And the shoes to match it there, the blue, very perfect.
I thought of it.
Yeah. And your hair is lovely, and you got that going there. And what's your name?
Beatrice.
Beatrice, and a beautiful name. Beatrice is a beautiful name. A poet, and a very famous poet was named Beatrice.
There's also a book called Beatrice and Beer.
Beatrice and Beer?
Bear.
Oh, the bear. Oh, no, Beatrice and Beer. Well, I was thinking of a different book. Okay, very nice to meet you, dear. You want to say hello to anybody while you're here? Mm-mm. Say hello to a teacher or something and get a lot of, you know, get a good grade just for saying hello? Or a friend? I don't know. Okay. All right. Thanks for coming, dear. It's the children's hour. Okay. You guys feel like talking? I don't want to leave you guys out of it. You're sitting there through this whole thing, and they're shaking their heads, and they're slumped down in their seats. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. But I'm sorry. Yes, okay. It's good. Wait, yeah, come on over here. Yeah. Stand up for a second.
We're from California, and we want to understand what's this stuff, call it falling from the sky.
I saw that. That's why I threw it away. I mean, I got that. It wasn't in fashion. Yeah, it doesn't rain out there, huh? It doesn't rain in California, but how's the rest of that song go?
I forget. It pours.
What?
It pours.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. But don't steal our water is all I'm saying. Yeah, no, but I mean, you guys will do it. You'll dig a ditch from the Great Lakes all the way down to San Bernardino, and then we're out of water. So, okay, good luck to you, though. I hope that changes. Okay. Next, this is all random, so it could be you. Ash Gosain. Did I speak to Ash? Yes. Hey, okay, I talked to you. Okay. I talked to you already. Who has your oldest guest been? Well, how old are you? 39? No, you're not him. We had him older than that. Oldest? Why would that interest you, Ash? It's age related.
Just morbid curiosity.
Morbid curiosity is the best kind. It's better than morbid obesity, I say. I don't know who is their old. I don't know. Who knows these things? I don't know. Yeah.
Kurt Vonnegut. He was pretty old.
Yeah, I don't know. We've had a lot of old people on various ages. Thanks for stopping the show to a dead. it's random, though. What can you do? Michael, who are you wearing today? I don't know. Can you see what it is if I bent? Can you see who I'm wearing?
Kmart.
It's wrinkle resistant, traditional fits.
Oh, yeah. L.L. Bean. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm wearing L.L. Bean today. Where's Jerry Whitley? Okay. Hey, Jerry. What are you wearing?
Edouard Barrier.
I'm sorry?
Edouard Barrier.
Ooh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry to hear that. Okay, L.L. Bean. Also French. Eddie Bauer. Oh, Eddie Bauer, of course. Yeah. I should have got that. I'm sorry. That was good. Very good. What are you wearing today? What is the most money you have paid to FIFA? I didn't even know what FIFA was until a couple of days ago. I'm shocked to hear that soccer is somehow regulated. They should, and that's called football. You know, I mean, that was a shock to me right there because that's the F is for football, apparently. But I always thought there's something wrong with that sport. All the flopping, you know, way too much flop. And not the basketball players when they do it are pretty good at it. You know, they give you a really good thing. Like, you know, it's like sort of like punching yourself in the face. You know, if you do it right, it looks really good. And basketball players can do that. But the soccer guys, just, you know, just fall down. It's stupid. They should investigate them. Sue them all, I say. When will Scott Walker run for FIFA president? Jan F. from Peachtree City, Georgia. Ooh, that sounds nice. Is that nice, Jan? Yeah. No, they're still here. They're still here. Hang on. Peachtree is a very famous city, isn't it? Peachtree City? Yeah, is it? Is there history to it?
I wouldn't say it's famous, no.
It's famous for us.
Yeah.
Because we live there.
Okay, well, that was worth doing. Okay, but I'm saying, stop it!
Sorry.
Oh, you they jumped told me when to I yelled it. At you. What do you think I do when
they
you
told me to do it.
Sound that thing?
It wasn't me. I'm
How
just
are you today?
Working
good?
As a...
I'm good. Yeah. I love your show.
Oh, thank you so much.
You bet. I always introduce new people. These are my niece and nephew, but I'm not the aunt who bought the hat. Yeah, you know, I'm not that aunt.
You could be the one who gets the horse.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. She should ride
him. She should.
Yeah. That'd be very cool. All right, so we're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz because there's time for it, and that's what we do. And you want to do it, really?
Yeah, I do.
You feel confident and composed? And
yes.
How are you doing over there at Randall?
I'm doing good.
Grade-wise, pretty good?
Yeah.
What's your best subject?
Reading. And math.
And math. All right, why not? Come on up here. Gemma, that's right. All right, Gemma, because you are the future. And so that's why you're going to play the What Do You Know quiz, because if you can play this, you can do pretty much anything in life that you may encounter. Can I get you to move up a little closer this way, honey, so we can hear you? Okay, and it's math and reading questions mostly. What you want? What are you reading right now, for example?
Not really anything.
Oh, okay.
I guess I was just reading The Carnival at Bray.
Carnival at Bray?
Yeah.
What's that about?
A girl that moves to Ireland.
Oh.
And then goes to Rome to fulfill a dying wish.
Hers or someone else's?
Someone else's.
Okay. Sounds like a great book. Sounds very good. Gemma, someone out there plays along with you, and how's that work again?
Yes, if people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WACK-NOW. Or rather, WACK-NOW, and answer this qualifying question.
Okay. Here's the question. If you have a set bladder, what have you got? Obviously, a condition of some sort. If you have a sept bladder, what have you got? That's okay. That's we're waiting. We got one guy who's been on the phone here, I think, all day. But let's go to him because he's been very patient, waiting on the line there in Carbondale or Carbondale. Is Dan?
Yes.
Hey, Dan.
Hey.
What you up to?
I'm waiting in line to dump my hazardous chemicals in a collection.
What hazardous chemicals do you have there?
It's just house paint. Nothing too hazardous.
Oh, house paint. Okay. All right, so you thought you'd kill some time by getting on the What Do You Know show, I guess. I understand that. That's a lot of people do that, I guess.
Saturday.
How long is the line, and where do you dump this stuff?
Well, it's a special collection. They do it like once a year at the Southern Illinois Airport.
Yeah.
I've been in the line for about 45 minutes already, and I'm getting close to the front.
Yeah, they just dump it on the runways down there, or what do they do?
that gives them a better target when they're coming in.
Yeah, a little slick, though, isn't it? Some of those hazardous chemicals are slick.
Yeah.
All right, Dan, if you have a step ladder, what have you got?
A step ladder? I guess I don't quite understand the question.
That was a good answer, though. If you have a sep bladder, what have you got?
I haven't got a clue.
Oh, that's too bad. It's going to be a long wait now, huh?
Yeah.
So close to having something to do for the next 45 minutes or so. All right, sorry, though, Dan.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Hang in there. Keith is in Cleveland. Hey, Keith.
Hi, Michael. How you doing?
Good. Are you waiting in line with toxic chemicals or anything?
No, I just deliver pizza.
Are you working now?
Of course.
Is somebody waiting for the pizza while you're doing this?
No, I just, I'm on the way back to the store.
Oh, okay. So. All right, so take your time. Don't worry. It's kind of early yet, though, isn't it? No, in Cleveland, it's already lunchtime, huh?
Well, almost 1 o'clock, and I've been here since 11, and I've delivered probably $600 worth of food.
Really?
Wow.
Making pretty good money, are you?
I don't know. I don't keep track during the shift, so.
No, of course not, for tax purposes.
Apologies.
Okay. Keith, if you have a sep bladder, what have you got?
Oh, Michael, I have absolutely no clue.
Okay.
But I just wanted to shoot for the youngest possible combination of contestants that you've ever had, because I'm 29, and I figure, you know,
yeah,
anything under 40 has to be.
Gemma, what are you, about 20, 26, 27?
I'm about 104.
She's very well preserved, though. Surprisingly well preserved. No, sorry, though.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Okay, you too. Steve's in Springfield, Mo. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. What up?
Not much.
No? What are you doing today? Anything?
I'm getting ready to take a trip to Corpus Christi and kayak for a week.
You're going to kayak in Corpus Christi?
Down in the Gulf. Yeah.
Are you going down the Mississippi to Corpus Christi, or are you?
Yes.
You
we're
are?
Leaving here tomorrow. Yeah, we're heading down there and kayak fish for a week.
No, wait a second. I mean, are you going to kayak down to there?
No. Well, that would be fun. I could probably do that with all the rain.
Yeah.
I think we'll drive down.
You're going to drive down and kayak once you're down there. And what do you kayak in the Gulf itself?
Yeah. The goal is to catch big fish.
Oh. But aren't there many huge ships going in and out of their tankers and things? And wouldn't that be a little dangerous?
Well, we're hoping not, no. We're hoping not. It should be a good time.
I like your attitude. We're hoping not. It's a very good attitude to have. I wish I had that more. Let me ask you this, though, Steve. If you have a SEP bladder, what have you got?
Spell it. STEP bladder?
I'm not going to spell it because you're going to look it up. A SEP?
I can't look it up. I'm driving.
Okay. A SEP bladder.
I don't know. Let's an infected bladder.
Yeah, it should be, but it's not.
Okay, well, right. Nice try.
All right, thanks, Steve. Good luck down there.
See you, man. Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Good luck in that kayak there, in the fishing lanes. Susan's in Myrtle Beach. Susan, you know this, don't you?
Yeah. Yes, of course.
Of course you do. What is it?
A step ladder is a short ladder.
All right. Yes,
there you go.
Step ladder.
Yeah.
Short ladder. Very good. I don't know why no one else got that. I guess someone was sort of hinting at it was a ladder, but
unbelievable.
It's unbelievable when you think about it. People don't listen to the news anymore.
No.
How are you, Susan?
I'm pretty good. I'm staying in the AC today.
You're staying in the AC? Is it hot out there in Myrtle Beach?
Yes, it is. Hot and humid.
Yeah. Hot, when you say hot, what is that? I forgot what that's like.
I think it's going to 90 and it's humid.
Oh, yeah. Do you have a place down there in Myrtle Beach? Or?
Yes, I live down here. I just retired this year.
Oh, from where?
From school, from teaching.
Okay, but what part of the country?
I was teaching down here, but I'm from Ohio.
Oh, okay. Good. Wonderful. Susan, this is Gemma. She's your partner now on the quiz.
Very good. Hello.
Hi.
Okay, you two have bonded sufficiently, I think. So she's very smart, you know, so she'll be a good asset to you on this. The two of you work together and answer the questions from various categories that we have we not?
Yes, and the categories are current events, people, places, school, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Susan, let's pick the first one. What would you like?
How about people?
People. All right. All right, women, this is women people, who think about the sort of thing that Irish, Jewish, or Argentine men are the sexiest.
Oh,
you don't have to answer this.
Yeah.
Unless you heard something to this.
Jewish? What is it? Jewish? Argentine?
No. Yeah. Irish, Jewish, Argentine. This was a...
I would say Argentine.
Gemma, you want to weigh in on it?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, I'm sorry. It's Irish. Irish.
Oh.
Yeah, surprised me, too. I would have thought the Jewish would be a no-brainer.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's one wrong.
Don't worry about it.
Oh. Yeah.
Go ahead.
That really surprises me about the Irish.
Zero right and one wrong.
Okay, that's not
good. And the remaining
there,
categories are current events, yeah, places, school, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Gemma.
School.
School it is. All right. What color is the sunset on Mars?
Does the sun set on Mars?
Oh, yeah, you betcha. You got to see it. It's gorgeous. The sunset, I'll give you a choice here. Is it blue, yellow, or red?
Red.
Or blue or yellow? They just discovered this, I guess, because of they got the thing up there, that Curiosity thing. Finally took a picture of the sunset, and it was surprising. Blue, yellow, or red?
What do you think about blue?
Okay.
Blue is right. Yes, it's blue. Sunset on the red planet. Isn't that going to be nice? I can hardly wait. So that would be?
That would be one right and one wrong.
Oh, okay.
Is this the winning thing, since we're so close to the end?
Yes, this is it. For all the beans.
Remaining ones are current events, places, science, or odds and ends.
Susan?
Current events.
Current events, right out of the news. All right. Okay. What did the Pentagon randomly send out to half a dozen states, including Wisconsin? In the news.
Go ahead. What do you think?
Gemma?
I'm stumped.
Okay. Didn't see this. Please. What's she yelling? Your
is that a multiple choice?
Something. No, it isn't. How about toxic chemicals?
Anthrax.
Anthrax is right. Holy cow. Nice work, Susan. And Gemma.
And yes, Gemma, when something needs a little personification, you'll be ready with a handy tin of emergency googly eyes. 20 pairs with stick-on adhesive to make everything better, from Archie McPhee. Susan, no, for insights on everything from a guy having his own house to breeding in captivity, no, there's Something I Said, Innuendo and Out the Other by Michael Feldman, yeah, including the CD My Life, the Musical from Paris, yeah, Books. And both of you can send the news of your
Gemma
quiz victory
too,
on a half dozen genuine archival quality greetings from Planet Feldman postcards, and fill the audio void between Memorial Day and the 4th of July with the red-blooded American music on CD of What Do You Know About Copeland, with patriotic liner notes from Michael Feldman from Nimbus Records. Congratulations to both of you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Hang on. We'll make sure you get that. Nice talking with you.
Thanks.
Gemma.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Hannah Poth, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Technical Director Tom Blaine, with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. Special thanks to our guests, Kyle Cherick and Catherine Hahn. This is Stephanie Lee, hoping you'll join us next week for more of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know.
Public Radio International.